This is the Bully and Badger College Football Podcast.
The most exciting 25 seconds in college football.
Auburn's going to win the football game! Auburn's going to win the football game! He ran the missed field goal back! He ran it back 109 yards! They're not going to keep him off the field tonight! Holy cow! Oh my God!
The Mountaineers of Appalachian State have just beat the Michigan Wolverines in the Big House!
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that! Put them in the aisle! Johnny the Jet Rodgers just tore them loose from their shoes!
Here are your hosts, Chris Grace and Ryan Hearing.
Your Mississippi State Bulldogs. It's been a long time since we have last talked, and my man Ryan has got a lot on his plate, so it's just going to be a solo mission here today as Ryan's got a young child and a lot going on there. He's moving, and we've already given away too much personal information, but it doesn't matter. I am here specifically to break down this weekend's big matchup in Stark Vegas between the 1-0 Mississippi State Bulldogs and the 0-0 LSU Fighting Tigers. Everybody knows how last year's contest ended. At this exact same time of year, Mississippi State traveled down to Baton Rouge with the intentions of sparking an upset, with the intentions of putting the entire nation on watch, and with the intentions of announcing their presence with authority. And that's exactly what happened. At this time last year, the Bulldogs went into Death Valley and upset the Tigers 34-29, a score that was much closer than the actual stats of the ball game. LSU scored two late touchdowns and nearly stole victory from the Bulldogs late. But we're not here to talk about last year. We're here to focus on this year. Mississippi State comes off of their 34-16 win over the Southern Miss Golden Buzzards. No, that's not it. It's the Golden Eagles. Or is it the Mustard Buzzards? No, I think it's the Golden Eagles. Golden Eagles were game last week. They threw everything they could at Mississippi State, but the Bulldogs were ready and willing to stand off their Conference USA foes from Hattiesburg in order to improve to 1-0 and look forward to this critical matchup at Scott Field on Saturday night. It's a 9:05 kickoff, 8:05 Central Time. Excuse me, 9:15, 8:15 Central Time. The big deal last year, and we'll get into this here in a second, was the coming out party for the rest of the country of one Dakota Dak Prescott. Prescott and the Bulldogs ran all over LSU last year, accumulating over 300 yards on the ground, on the road, inside Death Valley. That never, ever happens, and it happened. LSU, on the other hand, who like to think of themselves as quite the ground game juggernaut, were unable to establish anything, only amassing 89 yards on the ground on countless carries. Now, I will say this. It was one of the first games in which Leonard Fournette played, and he was nowhere near. You're listening to the Bully and Badger College Football Podcast. We promise you won't be overwhelmed. You won't be underwhelmed. You'll just be flat-out whelmed. Near as confident or comfortable as what we will see tomorrow night inside of Davis-Wade Stadium. But the Bulldogs still dominated inside the trenches. And any game involving these two teams is going to come down to who wins where the going gets tough. Who wins on the inside? And if last year is any indication, the Bulldogs will come out victorious yet again. It's interesting to me that Mississippi State is coming into this season under the radar, if that's at all possible, considering they have a experienced leader, one of the most talented quarterbacks in the country in Dak Prescott. They bring back talent all over the place on offense, and their defense, although they lost a few critical pieces to the NFL, still has many, many talented players that will make an impact on Sundays, and more importantly, will make an impact tomorrow night on Saturday. I thought that going into the season, people were very naive to the fact that Mississippi State played basically two defenses last year. They had an A defense and a B defense in every single game if you watched, even though it was frustrating at times. That second unit got lots of work every single Saturday. And I think for tomorrow and for this season in general, it was a huge one-up move by the Mississippi State coaching staff to employ such defense. Not only did it keep them fresh and in games, but it got valuable experience gained for many of the guys who are now starters. And without that experience, they probably wouldn't be as comfortable as they are in this position that they're in now. Also, moving forward, last week Mississippi State encountered people are going to say, oh, they barely beat Southern Miss 34-16. They didn't cover. Southern Miss is terrible. All of those things. Yeah, a lot of that is true. They didn't cover and they only won 34-16. But that was a raucous atmosphere. Southern Miss's stadium has been renovated. It was a sellout. There were 36,000 people there, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for a Conference USA team, that's a huge number of people. It's an interstate rivalry. It's the first time Mississippi State's played a road game at Southern Miss in over 30 years. I mean, all of these things come into play. It was a tough atmosphere, and if you watched the first quarter of the game, many of you probably didn't because the game didn't start until 10 o'clock Eastern time, which is another story for another day. Mississippi State was able to move the ball at will on Southern Miss. Southern Miss emptied out everything they had. They ran a double reverse, flea flicker, throwback pass. They onside kick. Mississippi State fumbled going into the end zone. Mississippi State fumbled a punt right outside of their own end zone. All of these things contributed to the game seeming much closer than it actually was. Southern Miss was unable to move the ball when it mattered most in the red zone. In the critical downs, Mississippi State had a huge goal line stand at the end of the first half after that big trick play, et cetera, yada, 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 clanga, clanga, clanga. What is this that I'm telling you right now? What I'm telling you is that Mississippi State went vanilla. Dak Prescott only carried the ball twice last week. They left a lot in the tank. And guess what? LSU only played five offensive plays and two or three defensive plays before their game got rained out or lightninged out or whatever, suspended, however they're going to put it against McNeese State. So Mississippi State, I think, is at a more advanced point in the season than LSU would be. And more importantly for the Bulldogs, they didn't show them anything. They didn't do anything fancy. Dan Mullen didn't pull any tricks out of his sleeves. He didn't have to run Dak Prescott. He didn't have to break out too many options on offense. He did just what he needed to get the victory in a comfortable manner, comfortable enough manner, and move forward to the biggest game of the season so far, which is this game. The reason why it's such a big game for Mississippi State is after this, they have two road games at Texas A&M and at Auburn, both of which will be very tough games to win. This is one of the few early season home games within the SEC, and it's a critical time when you can take advantage of LSU's young quarterback play. And Brandon Harris will be making the start. We saw him at the end of that game last year against the Bulldogs in Baton Rouge, and he looked good. But a lot of quarterbacks look good against a prevent defense when there's tons of room to throw the ball. It'll be interesting to see how Harris reacts when the Bulldogs come out strong and with their ones and their 1As and really coming after him early in the game. Last year, MSU, like I said, completely dominated the line of scrimmage. They ran for 302 yards, and LSU only ran for 89 yards. If there's not a drastic turnaround within the running game, then there's no way that LSU wins this game. When I saw the betting line open up, it opened up at LSU, I mean, where it is right now, it's LSU -5 in Starkville. People are smoking crack. Listen to me right now. Mississippi State is playing at home in front of 64,000 screaming, cowbell-toting lunatics that cannot wait to beat LSU at home for the first time in almost 20 years. Last year was a huge moment for Mississippi State. Last year, they finally beat LSU in Baton Rouge. This year, they finally beat LSU in Starkville. The only way that Mississippi State loses this game is if Dak Prescott gets sick and doesn't show up. The only way that LSU wins this game is if Leonard Fournette literally turns into Earl Campbell tomorrow. if Leonard Fournette runs on a defense that doesn't give up rushing yards. That's what people need to understand. Everyone, understand this. Mississippi State does not give up north-south rushing attacks. They just don't. The only way you could beat them is by getting to the perimeter with a read option type of Oregon. You know, Ole Miss had success with it. Georgia Tech had success running the triple option. That's a whole nother ball. That's almost like an that's almost shouldn't count. It's almost like an aberration against all other football teams, what they do over there. But teams that just line up and try to pound the ball don't have success against this defense. Tomorrow will be no different. Mississippi State has a new, LSU has a new defensive coordinator replacing John Chavis. Will be Kevin Steele. It'll be the first time we see Kevin Steele. And I'll tell you what, if you're lining up for the first time and you have to face Dak Prescott, and you have to face Darunya Wilson, who, by the way, is the most underrated receiver in the country, and you have to face not one, not two, but three dynamic backs that no one knows about coming from the Bulldogs right now, and you have to face all of this with, 57,000 people toting cowbells, yeah, probably not going to be a lot of fun. Probably not going to be a good time for the Bayou Bengals. I know where my money's going, and I'm telling you right now, there are two things I look for anytime I'm trying to look for a bet. My allegiance to Mississippi State has nothing to do with this. One, how many people are betting on the team that's favored? In this case, over 70% of the people are betting on LSU. Two, is the home team favored? No, LSU is favored. Three, who is the bigger team to the public? What team does the public recognize? LSU. LSU coming off of a terrible year in which they not only lost numerous games within the SEC, they lost their bowl game to Notre Dame, and they haven't played a game yet this year. With a quarterback with minimal to no experience, a team that wasn't successful last year is going into an incredibly hardcore, raucous environment, and you think that this team is going to be able to handle all of that adversity. This is not your brother's LSU. This is not your mother's LSU. This is not even your cousin's LSU. This is a new version of LSU with plenty of talent, don't get me wrong, but it's young talent, and it's not talent who's ever experienced any winning. Just one quick story as I digress. When I got to Mississippi State in 2001, Nick Saban had just gotten to LSU, replacing Jerry DiNardo, and Jackie Sherrill had been at MSU. Mississippi State was the better team. Mississippi State had had a better run over that five-year window. It is from that point on that LSU has become this juggernaut. The reason I bring that up is because football is a fickle nature. Les Miles, although he achieved some success, has gotten complacent. He's gotten vanilla. He's gotten predictable. Yes, he'll go for it on fourth down, but you know what else he'll do? He'll line up every single first down and run the ball. If you're doing that against a defense that can physically match up, you're in trouble. And that's what they're going to find tomorrow. I have complete confidence in this, and I very rarely have complete confidence in any one of my teams. Trust me when I say this. I think the Mets are going to lose every night, and then they win. I think the Jets are going to lose every Sunday, and then they win once in a while. But for tomorrow, this Bulldog team, as long as they stay disciplined, don't create too many penalties, get the ball to Darunya Wilson, and are able to contain the two dynamic. Well, actually, there's three really dynamic players that LSU has. I'm sure they have more than three, but three that we'll see tomorrow. Trayvon Durrell, wide receiver number one. Leonard Fournette. And Malachi Dupree. If they can contain those three players, just contain them, Mississippi State will win this game. This is Dak Prescott's time to shine. I'm telling you, last week, he was trying to throw the ball. He wasn't trying to run just so he could tote the ball 10, 15 times tomorrow. By the end of tomorrow, the number 15 in maroon and white will be back up where he belongs on the top five Heisman list. And Mississippi State will skyrocket where they belong inside the top 15 of the national poll. Until next time, when hopefully I'll have more to talk about other than just Mississippi State football, this has been one half of Bully and Badger for the Bully and Badger College Football Podcast. Until tomorrow night, hopefully, we'll be hearing plenty of this. I'm Chris Grace. You can wrap this podcast in maroon and white. So long, everybody. Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this version of the Bully and Badger College Football Podcast. If you'd like to contact the hosts, you can reach Chris Grace at ChristopherGrace82@gmail.com or on Twitter at ChrisGrace82. That's GRACE. Like amazing. So long, everybody.